This year chasing our 18th banner. Roster so deep, our bench finally got an answer. We got the heart, maybe not the glamour. When you spell team, you best watch your grammar. Ignore the refs when we led by Tatum. Big ass and squeeze, corner threes makes them. Batman and Jalen, our defense at anchors. Brogdon off the bench, giving more flavor. Smart is the heart, and the best actor. Getting every charge, intense in the matchup. Now getting ready for hot takes and laughter. Cause you tuning in to the boys in the rafters.
What up? What up? We are officially back with the Rafters Podcast. Your host, Liam McDade, accompanied once again after a long exodus with my Dirk Nowitzki lookalike here, Connor Strayer. Long time no see, buddy. Welcome back.
I'm glad to be back. Thank you. We went on a little hiatus there. I guess Couch Guy Sports OG coming back.
Yeah, so. Look at this. Back in the fold.
I know. It was crazy. Saw Pat at a one-year-old birthday party, and that's how it came about. So we're here.
Is that what I have to look forward to in adulthood, is one-year-old birthday parties?
Yeah, once you get, how old are you now? Like 26?
Yeah.
Are you even 26? Are you over 25? Yeah, once you get like over 28 and your kid, friends are having kids, yeah. That's all you have to look forward to.
One-year-old birthday parties? Wow, yeah. Fuck. Any excuse to celebrate, I guess.
Yeah, and we watched the Patriots on like a big screen, so it was fun. That was one of the games they lost like 40-something to 3 or 0, whatever, but it was all
good. Of course it was. The Cowboys game, I assume. Fucking awful. Yeah, they're so depressing to watch. There is not much for me to talk about on the Patriots podcast, which is why I'm so psyched to do this.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully this year we'll get some interesting, I don't know, hopefully it's, we'll get into it.
Yeah, certainly. It's a completely new year, but first of all, I just want to say officially, while we're on here, happy to have you back, my man. I'm so psyched to do this. I've always loved doing this with you. The last time I think we recorded anything, I was at your house for the Suns Patriots game.
Last time?
I don't know if it was maybe one of the last ones, but that's my fleeting memory of it.
Yeah, it's crazy. I started that back in like 2000. I think it was like during COVID.
Yeah, so, before 2019.
I think it was before COVID, and I think we went through COVID. Yeah, so it's been a while. It's been like 4 or 5 Celtics seasons now. So, well, obviously, I missed a couple, but.
Yeah, a little exodus in between there, but now you're back. Pleasure to have you on, my man. I'm excited for this season. Excited for another Celtics season where hopefully they don't get devastatingly close and rip our fucking hearts out like they have the past like 5 seasons, where it always just seems to be a dick tease toward the end of the season.
Yeah.
It's so fucking brutal. But obviously, we'll get into all that. Let's just start it out fresh here. Completely new Celtics team. What do you think? First of all, this was, if I recall correctly, this was a big point of discussion with us the first time around. Marcus Smart, now he's gone. What do you think?
Thank God.
Dude, seriously. Excellent.
I mean, obviously, he's not a bum. He's not a terrible player.
Yeah, but... No, certainly.
And key moment, and he's had is obviously, Celtics Nation will miss him, but
yeah,
there was just something about him. He would just take the dumbest 3-point shots.
Thank you. That's exactly my point. I'm glad we do see eye to eye on this. I will not miss the transition threes or the jacking up a shot at the beginning of the clock.
Yep. And I think Drew Holiday, I think he's smarter than that. He won't do that. He's more of a, you know, giving assists and all that. So he's a better ball handler. Like, he's a better Marcus Smart.
Oh, yeah. Far and away. Like, just as good of a defender, I would say. Maybe not so much in the hustle. He won't lay out there and try and die on the court.
No, but he's just as good as a defender. He's not like a hustler. He's not going to be like, I don't think he's like trash talking as much as Mark Smart is, but he's better. He's overall talent better than
Mark Smart. Yeah, I tend to think that trash talk goes the other way as well, where he'll talk so much trash, he'll talk himself out of a game.
True. That could be bad in like a finals game. Drew Holiday is not going to get suspended for
him. No. Yeah, what was that in the finals game? Marcus Smart talked a ton of shit to Steph Curry, and then he went off and hit that fucking and 1-3.
Yeah, and you can't be doing that to Steph Curry. So, and I don't think at all. We could end up playing, the Warriors in the finals. So he would never do that.
Imagine another rematch.
That's a lot.
I'm fired up, though. I am psyched to see Smart go. It was fun while it lasted. Like you said, he's not a bum. He's totally, he embodies what it's like to be a Celtic. Everyone loves him for the most part, besides his terrible shot selection. People overall in Boston and through Boston Celtics fandom do like him. But it's a very love-hate relationship. It's like dating a supermodel who's got an absolute nightmare personality.
And we'll see how much of his, like, his play will translate into his new role, like in his new team. Because he's probably, he's got to be the starter there. He's got to be the starting
point. Definitely. Ja.
Or what, so he'd be the what, starting shooting guard?
He could be the starting shooting guard, take the Dylan Brooks role, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see how he can play without Tatum and Brown. And like, they don't have as many superstars over there. So we'll see how he could do as probably the second best player on that team.
There is the interesting comparison I heard, though, and it's purely a numbers thing, and I don't know how much merit there is to it, but I thought it was interesting. Tony Allen spent the exact same money years with the Celtics and was traded to the Grizzlies. Marcus Smart spent that same money years, was traded to the Grizzlies. I think both of them had a defense player of the year. I know Smart obviously definitely did.
Yeah,
Then Tony Allen fucking killed it with the Grizzlies. So now everyone's like, Marcus Smart's going to go nuts with the Grizzlies. I'm like, ah.
We'll see. I want him to do well. Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yeah, I want to see him do well. We'll see. I mean, we're more focused on our team, so.
Yeah, naturally. But it's a good setup that they got over there. He definitely fits with the Grizzlies. You think he's going to dye his hair blue, though, or is he going to keep the green?
Dude, I think he already dyed his hair blue the first day.
Did he already? No fucking way.
You're being hyperbolic. The first right when he heard the call, he probably went to his barber and was like,
yeah,
put it blue, give you some blue.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I can't imagine it would look good as neon green.
Blue or like, that would look
That's sick. What I was thinking. Yeah. Like some Miami color.
Cool. Yeah, with their sleeves, that'd be pretty cool.
So, Drew Holiday, as his replacement comes in, obviously you said you love the guy. Well-rounded offense player. He's been one of my favorite players fucking ever.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, big time. I grew up like a Sixers fan, basically, because I loved Allen Iverson. So then when they drafted Drew Holiday, who was the youngest player ever drafted at the time, I think I was obsessed with Drew Holiday. I have like an old Sixers jersey of him and everything. But
yeah, I mean, he killed it. I mean, he's a good player. He's getting up there in age for basketball. He's 33, but
yeah,
I think he's going to be able to contribute a lot.
Yeah, he got shit on last year because Jimmy Butler absolutely destroyed him in the box. And I guess he was talking shit to Jimmy Butler was talking shit to him. Drew Holiday didn't talk shit. But he just got fucking roasted by Jimmy Butler.
I mean, Jimmy Butler shit on everyone last year.
He's the man. I loved it. I was eating it up.
So you can't blame him. And we'll probably see Miami at some point in the playoffs. But I think this year, we'll talk about, we have too much to overpower them.
Yeah, I would say so too. I'm psyched. Have you seen any of the preseason games so far?
I watched a little bit of like the first one, not much. I know they're on right now too.
They're playing the Charlotte, I think.
Oh, they're up 30, 33.
In the preseason?
Oh, no, I'm sorry, 21. I didn't have my glass off.
Yeah, they're not very good at math, huh?
So,
no shit. Maybe good.
I don't know who's playing in that game either. It's like,
yeah, I think this is like definitely the last one.
Last final season. Oh, on the court. Yeah. So we got Porzingis, Holiday, White, Brown, and Sam Hauser, like out there.
You're not a big Sam Hauser guy?
I mean, he's never going to touch the court.
He's a decent shooter. They'll literally just use him as a spot up if they do. Yeah. But yeah, he doesn't look like a basketball player. Like he looks like just an average fucking mailman that they put out there to shoot threes.
Yeah, but so you're a Holiday fan. How's he going to handle this role? Because last year, I'm looking, he scored 19 points a game. So
yeah, killed it. But
what's he going to do this season? Obviously, you're going to have Tatum probably close to 30 a game.
Yeah,
you're going to have Brown as the second fiddle there, and then
shortly behind 30 too. Yeah, so Drew's definitely taking a huge step behind. A lot of people said he struggled last year. I noticed it more in the playoffs than anything else. I hate the box. It was brutal to watch him on the box because I fucking hate Giannis. I hate the box. I hate the entire team. I hate everything about them. So it was really tough for me to root for Drew Holiday when he was on that team. I see him coming here and being like a very steady 16 to 18 points per game kind of guy, floating around, not many assists. Really? Type deal. Yeah, like he's probably going to be the fourth best scorer, I would guess. Because like you said, those top three easily round out our scoring. Brown.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, so Tatum, Brown, Porzingis.
Yeah. And then,
I mean, even White is going to have his like, points.
White's fine. He'll be like 12. 12, 9 to 12, I would say, in that range. I like to give a range instead of guessing a specific number. But
maybe Tatum lowers his number a little bit. Maybe he goes like 26, 27 points again.
Can you imagine Tatum lowering his number, though? He does not pass up a shot.
No, why would he? But you never know.
Certainly,
yeah. Wants to win a ring if they want to be in team mentality.
I know. Well, and that's why I mentioned I watched the last preseason game against the Knicks. And there were stretches where the Celtics team, granted they were playing mostly second string guys and we had our starters out there, but we just went out and absolutely destroyed, pillaged the Knicks when we had our starting lineup out there. Drew had a couple steals. Against their second lineup. So it's like we were picking on the second string. It's like playing a fucking JV team. But if you're going to be a starting team playing a lower level second tier team or second team, you should smoke them. And they did. They ran like a 2-2-1 press. Drew Holiday had a ton of steals. Kristaps Porzingis was shooting a ton of shots. The ball was moving all around. With what we get lose and Marcus Smart is, I guess, playmaking. I never thought he was a really stellar passer. He would have he would have a no-look bounce pass or two, and everyone would be like, oh my God, but he wasn't a fucking assist guy, really.
No, not really.
He's more like his shots.
He didn't take a charge, but yeah. And Drew Holiday.
Yes. Exactly. I like to think so. I don't know Drew Holiday's charge numbers offhand, but I would imagine he's a perfect defender, so I would imagine they're fantastic. But the team just looked very balanced in the last preseason game. Everyone's moving the ball. Our boy Peyton Pritchard was getting the rock plenty now that he just got that big deal. PP, baby. Yeah, we'll talk about that later as well. I know there's no way we can say that without it sounding weird. But PP, baby. I was thinking about that. But friggin', it just... Now I expect everyone to move the ball and it not be like a very point guard centric offense. Like everyone's going to touch it. Everyone's going to swing it on the outside and find an open man. I just hope Tatum doesn't get crazy about it and want to take all his shots. But from Drew Holiday, I'm expecting 16 to 18 points, steady, like four assists, like doing the minimum of a upper tier point guard and locking that shit down on defense. Our backcourt is ridiculous. Derek White and Drew Holiday are going to shut that shit down.
Yeah, I agree. Like the defense and that side of the ball, it's looking really good. Like you said, Derek White, Drew Holiday, two guys that could pretty much like lock down any two guards, or at least go at it with them for most of the game. And they'll stay out there most of the game as well.
Yeah, and they have to. Like this was the league's getting better. And we talked about this the last time you were even on the show with me. Like, the league's constantly getting better. The East is always getting better now. It used to be the shit fuck conference. Now it's much better.
Yeah.
And getting Drew Holiday seemed to be a direct answer to Damian Lillard going to the Bucks, which sucked because it's like, all right, now we need somebody to guard Damian Lillard. So we went out and got Drew Holiday.
Well, the Bucks answer for that was the Bucks getting Dame was their answer for us getting Porzingis.
Yeah, so that it's like, all right, so it's a puzzle.
One of them,
or,
both times.
Yeah, or it's a chess match where it's like, all right, you move, and then we fucking, I don't play chess, but I imagine you'd move, and then we'd steal your guy. Never played him, not that smart. But yeah, it all goes, so they're trying to one-up us, and then we were able to get kind of the last move. Drew Holiday has had an incredible record defensively against Damian Lillard, which got me super fired up. I don't know if you remember 2017, maybe, when Rondo was on the Pelicans. I know, fucking reaching way back, but Rondo was on the Pelicans with Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday, and they took down the Blazers in the first round. The Blazers won like 60 fucking games and then got swept by the Pelicans, which nobody expected, but Drew Holiday completely took Damian Lillard out of the series. It was a while ago, obviously, but I'm expecting similar results still to this day,
we might not even play them. Who knows?
Exactly. Ideally, I wouldn't want to play them. I get fucking pissed watching the any Bucks game, and especially the Celtics play the Bucks, because Giannis, his form of basketball is terrible. Like, he just barrels down the lane. He'll elbow all our guys. He puts everyone in foul trouble. It totally works, but that's why it pisses me off so much. That's not basketball, and that drives me up a fucking wall.
Yeah, but that, we'll see. I mean, we'll see how that team does. Injuries always affect everything. So, like, will the Bucks even make it to, like, the postseason with any major injuries? I mean, Giannis, God forbid, if he goes down, they're screwed.
It sounds terrible, but, like, at some point he's got to get hurt, right? Like, he...
I don't think he's ever had, like a crazy major injury, right?
No, he missed a game or two of last playoffs against the Heat when they lost, but that's it. Like, he never misses serious time. It's never any serious injuries. So, of course,
I mean, there's been plenty of players that just don't get hurt. Like,
I know. Well, like,
I mean, LeBron went most of his career without, like, really anything.
Yeah, he had his first major injury like 2 years ago. So, like,
yeah, which is insane. So, I mean,
yeah, like, look at that. But he's an outlier. He is not the rule. He is the exception.
No, but, like, I mean, I'm not comparing Giannis to LeBron, but he's he's up on that, like, high profile of players. Like, he could be on that pedestal with LeBron. We don't know his career. He still has got a while to go in the league too.
Yeah, I hate him. I hate heaping any praise on him.
I like him as a person.
Yeah,
his game.
I'm sure he's a swell guy. Yeah, but I don't even like to acknowledge that he's a good player. Like, I'm very spiteful. Like, he sucks. Like, if he wasn't 7 feet tall and jacked, he would truly be bagging groceries. Like, he's not
Porzingis.
Yeah, no, because Porzingis can shoot. Yeah, but like that, it sounds like, oh, he can shoot. It is a huge difference though. Like, Giannis just isn't skilled, like, at all. If you were 7 feet tall, you could make the passes that Giannis makes. You could do the things that Giannis does. Like, he just barrels down the lane. It would be like taking, I don't know, a more jacked Randy Moss and putting him in the league and just having him barrel fucking through the – it would be awesome. But, like, it's not fun to watch. Or at least after, I don't know, when Giannis was drafted. But, you know, many years down the line, it's not fun to watch anymore.
But now that he's getting dish on the ball, that pick and rolls would be lethal.
And that's the thing. Where it's
and then they have the wing guys that came through threes as well.
Yeah. And their center too, Brook Lopez. I think you and me had some Brook Lopez bets fairly recently. Yeah. Last time we were talking bets.
And then he hit one. Yeah. He eventually did hit one.
Yeah.
We got a few hundreds on that. I won 100.
Yeah, everyone finds their bets. Mine last year was Mike Muscala. He was on the Thunder. I would hammer his under in points. It would be like 11 points, and I'd be like, no way Mike Muscala's getting – never, never. So I would just hit the under every time, and it worked. I think it worked 10 times out of 10 times, and then they took him off the book because the bookmakers probably figured out that I was fucking
– like, what the heck's going on?
Yeah, yeah. They're like, why are we even putting Mike Muscala as an option?
Yeah. But, like, Brooke, you could, like, I forgot he's in their center still. I mean, he's as old as time now.
He's fucking old.
They have a solid team. And what they have, we don't have. I mean, they have less new players. So they have more chemistry. We don't have that right now.
No.
We have two players in our starting five that have not played together ever. So it's going to take them a little while to gel.
And to kind of round out, we'll talk about Porzingis in a second, but to round out, this is an entirely new Celtics team. Like, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Once Marcus Smart's gone, like, it is basically a complete restart on everything we've seen in the last 5 years. Do you feel better about it? Do you feel worse? Obviously, we haven't seen them play at all, but way too early impressions. Do you think they should have just ran it back with what they've been doing? Because clearly it works to a point.
No, you needed some fresh faces in there. Obviously, you had the chance to upgrade your point guard, so you did. You had a chance to upgrade, I guess, your low post scoring. So, defensive wise, I mean, yeah, he's a big body Porzingis, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see how he keeps up. He's not like a bruiser in the center spot or power forward. He's not going to go down there. So, I mean, bigger guys will be able to take advantage of a guy like Giannis. Well, I think Giannis did in the playoffs last year. I think they played the Wizards in the first.
He was on the Wizards, but they didn't make the playoffs. But no,
Giannis is like, Giannis body. Porzingis, I remember a couple games he played on last year. He bought it the whole game. So luckily we have Al Horford. But like, if one of those two guys go down, we're slim.
Yeah, we're fucked.
We're slim at center spot or power forward. Who else? Who was I thinking of? What's his name?
Luke Kornet's in there too. Who's wildly underwhelming.
Yeah, wildly underwhelming. So like, just not a fan of Kornet. I mean,
he's goofy.
He would come in and hit those like corner threes, and everyone would go crazy. Like.
Yeah,
that was because we were up by like 20 points. Like,
yeah, as terrible as it sounds, he's like a sideshow freak.
What was it? Sorry,
as terrible as it sounds, Luke Kornet's like a sideshow freak. Where you're like, oh my god, he's so tall. Look at all the stuff he can do. But like, no one's impressed.
He's gonna get minutes. He has to, because we're slim at that center spot or power forward spot. Like, if Porzingis or what's his name, Horford gets in trouble, he's gonna have to get some. He's probably going to get a decent amount of assists.
I absolutely agree, because Horford's really fucking old, and he played way too many minutes last year for his age. So I'd hope this year they would tally his minutes back, save him for the postseason, try and avoid him getting hurt or anything else. So Kornet kind of has to play, right?
Mm-hmm. He has to, and I know I did like a little bit of preseason research. They have that guy Nyamis Queta.
Yeah,
if that even how you say his name, where he comes from.
I still got to figure out pronunciation.
I think he's seven. He's a 7 footer. Yeah. So 7 footer, 245 pounds. Last year, it looks like he averaged 2.4 points a game and 2.2 rebounds a game. And he probably will get some minutes.
Yeah.
And I know, I don't think he's like on the roster this year, but he might get called up at some point just because injuries happen. He's definitely going to get some minutes this year.
Yeah, I miss Blake Griffin already. He never fucking played, but it was just cool having Blake Griffin just for the culture, you know?
He's officially retired. I think he officially...
Did he actually retire? I know he was up in the air.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought maybe that's what you were alluding to, but I'm not sure.
I know he said he wasn't sure if he was going to retire or not. When a player says that, they usually lean toward retirement. If you're halfway thinking about it, it's not easy to play an 82-game season.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Al Horford's old. So he's 37. I didn't even know who's that old. Wow. He's, like you said, he's going to need rest this season. He's not going to be able to give you – I mean, he probably can give you those minutes, but you'd rather be safer than sorry. Save his body towards, like, that later half of the season. I'm assuming you're going to be up. They're going to be up most games by a lot, we would hope. So maybe he starts out the game. If they go up big, you're putting in Kornet. You're putting in you're going to give Porzingis more time. You're going to give your bench guys more time. Take him out. If we're up big, take Horford out immediately.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, that once we crack the 20-point lead mark, he should be on the bench.
Oh, easily. I mean, maybe keep Tatum or Brown out there. Those are young guys. They should be able to play every minute on the court, never even come off, even if you are up by 20. All those guys need is repetition. Keep them out there. Guy like Horford, you're yanking him off the court once they go up 20, and you're keeping them on the bench for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to play that game, which leads me to my next point about Porzingis, and this is where I guess we'll talk about him. I have little to no confidence that he won't be hurt like a month into the season.
I agree, sadly.
Okay.
It sucks because he did go, I feel like last year was like his first full season where he didn't
have it was.
And we've talked, like, he's not a bruiser. He's not going to bash you down in the post. But if he can stay healthy, sure, he's going to be amazing. It's just he's got to stay healthy.
Yeah, it's a huge if. It really just never seems to happen. Like, he just has never really been able to stay healthy for as long as he's been around.
And when I remember when he got traded to like the Mavs back in the day.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to kill it. And he just couldn't stay healthy. So it's just
It was the second coming of you. I was expecting another Dirk Nowitzki out there.
I would love that.
But
people forget how, like, that Kristoff has been, you know, around the league a little bit. How he's been, this is what, his fourth team?
It's in his fourth. Knicks, Mavericks. Yeah, holy shit, it is. Yeah, it's fucking
he's only
wild.
28. It's not like he's like super old in the NBA. It's just like his prime age. So he has been around the league 14 and probably like what, 8 seasons? He probably he came out when he was 20 in the NBA.
2013, I think, something like that.
Yeah, but, so it's kind of crazy. He's bounced around and he hasn't really, I don't know, look at his stats, but he just has not had the best reputation of staying healthy.
No, he hasn't. He's the man, though. I love him. Like, as a player, he's perfect.
Yeah, I didn't really watch him well last season.
Really? He killed it.
And I know he did well. So, I mean, hopefully that translates into this year.
Yeah, I had him in many of my parlays last year where he cashed in for me plenty of times. Porzingis three is just one of my favorite bets to hit last really? Year.
Oh, yeah. You should hit that every game. Yeah. Or like over, yeah. So it's probably like seven, like two or three or something.
Yeah, it was two. And most of the time, I got it a couple times at 1.5, and that was money. And then once they caught on, it moved to 2.5, and then, you know, it got a little more spotty. But.
Yeah. All right. So I pulled up his games played. So his first year was with New York Knicks in
2015-16. Oh, Jesus
Christ. Played 72 games, started all 72. Next season, he played 66, and then 48, 2017-2018. I don't believe that was COVID.
No.
Okay, and he made the All-Star team. So that year, probably his best year to date, 27 points a game. Damn. And that was how long? 2018, not too long. It's like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And then he must have got hurt, you know, after the All-Star break because he played 48 games, started 48 games, and then 2018-2019, ACL injury.
Yeah.
He didn't play that whole season. 2019-2020, he plays 57 games, so... You know, maybe he missed about 30 games, 31 games.
Not great. That's kind of what I'm expecting this year is like him playing 50 games.
Yep. 2020, what was COVID season? 2020 or
2020?
Okay, so he did play 40. He played all the games there. 2021, I don't think was COVID. 2022, they didn't shorten the season.
No.
Played 51, 34, 17, or that was his trade year, so 13, 30. He played like around 60 games last year, and then, or 2 years ago, and then last year he played 65. So he didn't even play all the games last year.
Jesus Christ! So it looks bleaker and bleaker when we go to the numbers. Then,
yeah, I mean, we'll see. Even if he gives us 65 games, though, it's not bad. But you need him to make it to the playoffs. If he doesn't make it to the playoffs,
that so if we're setting an over under. Yeah, of course. And, like, yeah, if he gets hurt towards, like, closer to the playoffs, we're fucked, basically. Like, it's terrible we put all our eggs in one basket. If he goes out, then, like we said, we have Horford and Cornett starting playoff games.
Yep, but, yeah, I mean, obviously you'll still have one of the top players in the league and then Brown, too. So it's like you're not totally fucked, but...
But it looks not good.
You gave up some you gave up some depth and other stuff to get Porzingis, so, yeah.
Yeah. So if we're setting an over under, just out of estimate for Porzingis' games this year, games played.
No, I can't do that because I don't want to jinx it. Like I would love if he played all whatever.
Ideally, games. Yeah,
I would love that, and then plus some in the playoffs.
Yeah, I have him playing like 55 games, which sounds
like
not
55 great. Games and makes the playoffs, or 55 games and it's like not even.
And that's where I don't want to jinx it because I don't want to put any spooky mojo out there. I will say he'll definitely get hurt, but I just hope to Christ it's not in the last couple months. Like that's why I said a month into the season he'll be hurt because I'm hoping he gets it out of the way early.
Yeah, and I'll probably like if I have to pick something, I'll probably pick like even we'll go based on last year. I'll probably pick like 62 games. 60 to 62 games because like last year he played 65.
Yeah.
On a terrible Wizards team. So this year they're going to be up a lot. Maybe they have like a huge, maybe they'll give him nights off where he doesn't even have to play.
Yeah. Load management.
So yeah, let's go with 60. He'll play 60 games. And
I will gladly take 60 games. If he misses only 22 games, I would eat that up.
No, that, if you 60, that'd be, they only play 72 games, right?
No,
82. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, he'll probably have, you know, an injury that sits about half of those games, and then the other games will sit because they're just no need to play them. They're playing like who's going to be the worst team lately this year? They're playing
the Wizards.
Yeah. They're going to play like the Wizards, a team that we struggled against last year a lot.
Yeah. It's like the Magic, though. We always struggle against the Wizards and the Magic. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, they're going to play. Like they'll sit up against like maybe like those kind of teams, even the Hornets, or even when we play Western Conference teams, they'll sit up against those. So I'll say on the low end, 60-62.
Yeah,
he'll play that.
I can drive with that. Yeah, I would be around that area too. But in a perfect world where he stays perfectly healthy, this offense looks fucking dynamic. This is exactly the type of player we want. Watching him in the last preseason game, I was so fired up. Seeing the pick and pop, seeing him sitting on the perimeter, his three-point shooter, he just kind of flicks it and it floats in. Everything, his mechanics are flawless. He's so much fun to watch. He doesn't even look like a real human being out there. He looks like an alien that was put on this earth to play basketball.
I think they used to call him like the unicorn in New York.
Yeah.
Way big back time. So, yeah, and we'll see. I know there was drama between him and he did have some, like, He was like a drama freak, actually.
He threw a chair at some lady in a bar.
Oh, I didn't know about that. I just know he was like not great with teammates from like past seasons. He wasn't that great, and I know when he was over in Dallas, he kind of like started some stuff over there. Like I don't.
Oh,
think
really? He has an attitude problem.
Yeah, he has some sort of like attitude problem. I think he was like a prima donna. He was young. He was 24, 25. I think he's matured a little bit now. He's 28, so he'll be 28, 29 this season. I think he's matured a little bit, but I know he was like a little prima donna last a while back.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get drunk at a bar and hum a chair at a chick, obviously we've all been there. We've all got drunk and thrown chairs at women before. But But you know, you just if you're an athlete, you cannot do that. Certainly not in the public eye.
Not in the public eye. Not anywhere. We don't condone that anymore.
No, of course not. So, record predictions. What do you have the Celtics going this season?
Good question. That's a hard answer because I feel like everyone, if you just ask like a Celtics fan that, they're going to be like, they're going to say something super crazy, like outlandish. The best Celtics record of all time is 68-14. Will this Celtics team touch that? No, they won't touch that. And then that was in 1973. 1986 Celtics almost beat that. They went 67-15. And then the 2008 Celtics went 66-16. So
and that was
I
the best Celtics team we've seen in a while.
That might be one of the best chemistry teams we've seen
ever
in a while or ever. Well, maybe not ever, but like they're up there with those teams that like
they're pretty fucking
good. Yeah, that team was insane. I watched clips of that. It popped up on Sunday.
And you said they won 63 games?
No, they were 66-16. So I'm not even putting that. This year's Celtics team is not coming close to that. People have to understand how hard that is to win 66 games.
Yeah. ESPN had them at 55-27 being the first seed.
This season? And what was
ESPN? They said 55, which would have them winning the East, which I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just looking at like best records of all time, like season wise, and it only goes down to like 62 wins, like the Utah Jazz in 1998.
What did the Bucks win last year? Check that for me.
That's exactly what I was going to look at. Like, pull up the little Google machine. Bucks won 58 games last year.
58,
So I think the Celtics can touch that. Celtics won 57. They were one behind.
Yeah.
So Celtics won 57 games last year, and we upgraded our point guard. And we upgraded Porzingis. I don't know. It's tough. With that being said, I don't want to agree with ESPN, so I'm going to go with, like, I say 56-26 it would be. 56-26.
Yeah, 56-26 that's your final count?
Yeah, that's a crazy good projection by ESPN. I just think maybe we'll lose one more game, and I can see a couple. I can see, you know, 26 losses just because we're going to have injuries and we're kind of thin. outside the starting five.
Yeah, I thought ESPN's was too high, and I almost think yours is a little too high. I had them. Yeah, it sounds terrible. I have them at 47 and 35.
Jesus, they're finishing where?
I would imagine 47 wins. If ESPN projected 55 has the first seed, I guess 47 would have like the third seed.
You know, New York Knicks won 47 games last year.
Who did?
The Knicks, dude.
147?
That was the Knicks record. That was the Knicks record last year. They were the
fifth wow. Seed. Well, now I feel like an idiot because I certainly can't compare them to the Knicks now. So I got to bump it up. Maybe I'll go a flat 50 and 32.
So you're going to say the Cleveland Cavaliers last year.
Cleveland Cavs are pretty fucking good last year. Yeah, they were pretty tight. They were 51-31 last year. Damn, dog. This is brutal.
Yeah, and then Philly.
The East is way better.
Yeah, and maybe that's playing like why you're getting that record. Obviously,
yeah. But like, I don't think Philly's going to be very good. Cleveland will still probably be okay. I don't think the Knicks will be very good.
I think Knicks will be decent. I like that team.
Yeah, you've always been a Knicks fucking sympathizer for some reason. I never understood that.
I just think they have RJ Barrett, Duke guy. I just think they're a decent squad.
Oh, right. I forgot you're a huge Duke guy.
Yeah, they're a dick. They got a young team. I think they'll be okay. Like, I think they'll probably finish the same record as last year. They didn't really improve much in the offseason, so I'd say the same thing as that.
All right. Well, you talked me up a little bit. Yeah, I will. Yeah, I will settle at 50 and 32. Because I only put 47 because I anticipate Porzingis getting hurt, and I'll throw in another freak injury here or there with something stupid. Like, we're the Boston Celtics. Like, something dumb always happens. Our point guards are cursed with the injuries.
That's a solid point.
Think about the last time we had a point guard that didn't have a knee injury of some sort. Like, I guess it would be Marcus Smart, but before him.
And this is giving me, like, big – I don't really want to say it. Never mind. But
Yeah. Don't even –
yeah, you know what I'm going to say. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Whatever year that was. I was just thinking about this. I forgot why I was thinking about it. But remember how excited we were for that season? I think we had – who was our team that year? We had Gordon Hayward.
Kyrie.
And this was good Gordon Hayward. This was like, like prime Gordon Hayward.
Fresh off an all-star.
Yeah, very highly high-profile player. We had him. We had Kyrie Irving this season too.
Yep.
Tatum, obviously Tatum and Brown.
Yeah, Tatum was a rookie. Brown was a second player.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't think it's we're this team that we have right now is better than that because Kyrie.
Exactly. Like on paper, we're not better, but in real life, where there's problems, because that team's stacked. But when you take in Kyrie's psycho personality. And Tatum being a rookie, and Brown being a second-year guy, Gordon Hayward busting his ankle up in the first fucking game of the season.
And honestly, they got that happened. Well, sucks for Gordon Hayward, but Tatum really got to like play and kind of evolve and really do whatever he wanted that season because he had to kind of step up into that role.
True.
Gordon Hayward injury kind of like let him, you know, get more shots off that season. And,
you know, I never really thought about that. Yeah, it is a blessing in disguise for Tatum.
Just popped into my head, and that injury. But like, there was so much excitement going into that season, and I just remember sitting down to watch that first game of the season. Bam, pretty much out for like ever.
He never came back.
He never really fully came back. There was always something going on with that guy. Is he still on the Hornets now?
He's never recovered. Like, he's always still hurt. Recovered. Yeah. Like, we say Porzingis is hurt all the time, and maybe that's a bit of hyperbole, but Gordon Hayward is truly hurt all the time.
So, yeah, we're hoping. I think the excitement level going into the season is definitely like around there. Like, we just got two all star caliber players. This might be the first time in a while that our whole starting five could be in the all star game. It might be that good.
Yeah.
But, like you said, if injuries don't happen, in the perfect season, our starting five probably makes the All-Star team. But we haven't had this much excitement going into a season probably since that season.
Yeah, I think it's because it's everything's new. Like, because we got rid of Smart, we got these two new guys, and it's something. I guess they say new is always better, and I don't know if there's truth in that, or maybe they're just talking out of their ass. But that is a saying that goes out there, and
yeah.
I think that's why there's a lot of hype, I guess. But I have like this little blurb that I wrote up in my notes. This kind of has to be the season that the Celtics win it, which is another reason why I had, their record falling short. Like, they have to do it this year or it gets really fucking bleak. Do you know any of the new CBA rules at all? They negotiated new contracts and whatnot with teams and players. So it's super confusing. I tried not to get into it until I absolutely had to. And obviously, since we were recording the show, I had to learn a little about it. But the new CBA has created several restrictions on top teams in attempt to create a more even playing field in the league, I guess. Teams like the Warriors and Clippers can no longer dig into their deep pockets by venturing into the luxury tax. So you know how it'd be like the Warriors kept getting studs when they had Steph, Clay, and Draymond, and Durant, and you're like, how can they afford all these fucking players when they're paying all these people? It's because they just would go into the luxury tax. They'd be like, I don't really fucking care. And they'd be willing to spend the money because they have crazy rich owners and a lot of people who support them and whatnot. So now there's a huge limit on that. Teams that have been fixtures at the top of the standings in respective conferences will now have a harder time than ever being able to keep their names at the top of the leaderboards and whatnot because of the money restrictions that have been put on teams now. So the reason the Celtics could go out and sign Drew Holiday and Porzingis is because Tatum and Brown are still on their previous deals. Brown's huge deal kicks in next year because we signed him to an extension. Gotcha. So he finishes out this year and then his extension kicks in. And then next year will be Tatum's last year and then we'll sign him to an extension.
Will we?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. If we signed Brown, dude, I was pissed when we signed Brown. You think we're not going to sign Tatum?
I was pissed about that too, but that that's a very good point. So you're basically saying this year has to be the year. We're not going to have enough money for Drew Holiday. We're not going to have enough money with these new rules. We're not going to be able to like create a super team.
Because most of it kicks in next year. Yeah, these super teams are basically gone. This kind of eliminates
unless you draft every single season. All those guys are just
which is statistically close to impossible. Yeah, like the Warriors did it. And I think that's about it. Like it's almost impossible to draft that.
Back to back year.
Yeah, but we also drafted like Fab Mello and a bunch of people who sucked. So like fucking, I'm talking shit about a dead guy. But like the Celtics team is, it's like a train barreling down the tracks with like a speed where you cannot stop the train. Like you just have to wait for it to crash type deal. And friggin' in 2025-26 season, when all these rules are fully implemented and whatnot, we will have Porzingis, Brown, Pritchard, and Tatum will be the only guys truly locked into a contract at that point. And I'm kind of assuming what Tatum's going to get, but that will be about $100 million per year for those four guys. Yeah, I did. Because, $150 million.
So we only have 50 mil to play around with.
For 11 players.
Per year.
Yes, per year. But when you're splitting 50 million for 11 players, you're going to have a lot of guys on rookie deals and minimum deals. And that just seems unlikely.
We're hoping, obviously, Tatum and Brown, that's going to be like 2026 season. That's going to be like their prime. They're going to be, what, 28 that year, 29?
Something of the sort.
They're the players, 27, 28, 29, that's your prime time years right there.
Yeah.
If they're going to be the best of all, like, especially Tatum, we don't really need much.
Yeah.
Considering like if those two guys are going to be your guys, I'm happy we have those guys.
But two guys does not a team make. Like, look what Luka's doing, he has to carry the fucking team and never works.
Well, with these new rules, it sounds like it's going to have every team's going to have that problem.
So that's why it levels the field.
You're going to be limited to two superstars or five guys that are all like solid that can go out you're not going to have that true one star.
A lot of these other teams, though, don't have their money tied up in two young guys, though. And that's where our problem is. Because we happen, just gave Brown the deal. We're giving Tatum a deal.
What's going to happen with like a team like the Nuggets? That kind of, I guess they kind of drafted well, too.
Yes, they drafted very well, actually, now that you mention it. So I'm sure Jokic is going to get a ridiculous extension. And
he's not going anywhere.
No, of course not. Yeah, he's going to get something preposterous, and I guess they have to make like kind of a money move on Jamal, whether they want to sign him to a long-term for team-friendly deal or let him go. But like, if we paid Brown, they're going to pay fucking Jalen.
Yeah, Jamal, they're going to pay. But like, does he want to go? I'm assuming Tatum's going to get these offers from other teams.
Yeah, but he's
at this point, if he doesn't have a ring by then, does he go? Because he sat up with the Celtics?
Who knows? I always thought, probably a conversation for down the line. I always thought Jalen would be the more likely to leave, but I guess so it's not far-fetched.
Awesome. I mean, say this
he
year.
He says it all the time.
This year goes terribly wrong. What happens? Someone gets hurt, or two people go down on it. The season goes to crap, and then next season is okay. Like, they finish, but they don't win the championship.
Yeah, so that year comes also,
without winning a championship, he might not want to stay here.
He might not, but money talks and bullshit money takes the door. Yeah, like
of course. I'm saying
if you're getting $500 million, like Tatum's probably going to get, or whatever the fucking continent. What did Brown get? $200 million or something retarded?
I don't remember.
Yeah, but like exactly, you're going to offer them a contract that they can't refuse type deal, and I'm sure most players would be fine being miserable on a team if they're making $300 million or whatever it is, $500 million.
No doubt.
So I don't even if we lose, like we'll be, you know, hypothetical here. Even if we do lose in crushing fashion this year, when you get offered a contract like that, I doubt Tatum's going to leave.
Yeah, big yes, but I am surprised with your prediction there about the win. So would you say 53?
Yeah, 52? So I said 50 and 32.
And I'm saying what, 56 and 26?
No, you said 56 and 26.
Yeah, that's what I just said. 56, 26.
Oh, I thought you said 66. Yeah, 56. Oh,
no. 66 would be like the most.
Would be ridiculous. Yeah,
And I'm always saying just because, like, what did I say? That regular season record was for the Celtics. Even that 2018, not only won 66 games, they won 66 games.
Yeah.
And this team's not even close to that team.
No.
The mentality, the chemistry, nowhere even close to that. So we're not winning 66 games this year.
No.
Even with all the talent.
Unless Giannis gets hurt. But, you know, that's just hopeful.
Yeah. You probably won't touch the 60s depending on stuff. So, yeah, it's 56. ESPN kind of had it.
I think ESPN might have nailed this one, but I just, being a scorned Celtics fan, I will assume something bad's going to happen, which is why I lowered it all the way to 47. But then you talk me back up to 50. I know 47 is bad. I know. I totally get it. But I think they're also focused on, it could be like a Spurs situation back in the day where they just coasted and they wanted to win in the playoffs. They don't really care what seed they get. That was kind of my mentality.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen it work. And maybe they did win 47 games. You don't know. Like, this team has to.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while to gel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't, like we said earlier, we don't have any fucking depth. Like, beyond our starting lineup, we have Peyton Pritchard, Luke Kornet. We have this dude who looks like a cancer patient that we just drafted.
And are you confident in those guys? Like, I'm not.
Not particularly. Not until I see something.
That guy that comes off the bench for us.
We haven't seen it yet. And I love Peyton Pritchard, but we haven't seen it yet. Type deal.
I haven't seen it yet. Maybe we will. But and same thing with Kornet. Yeah, we saw him last year. Like I said, everyone gets happy when he comes in at garbage time. It's come some threes, but like he's going to be getting a lot of minutes this year. You're going to see how, like, not that great Kornet is.
I know. And once he's in the spotlight all the time, I imagine we're going to have the same problem we've had for the last, like, 4 years, where it's like, we need another big man. Like, I remember when you were on the show a while ago, we would always talk about, like, all right, they need to trade for a big man. Let's go get a big man. And they never would. And I would love to see them sign somebody, like, DeMarcus Cousins or Dwight Howard, somebody off the street, to go in there and ball like some bench minutes and whatnot. But
Wait, did you say Dwight Howard?
Yeah.
Jeez, I saw a thing the other day. He wants to go play for the Magic. That is great.
Does he? But, that would be so shitty.
I mean, he's washed up. I don't even know who would be.
I don't think he's washed. I love Dwight Howard.
I mean, I don't know who they would go get as like a cheap big man. Maybe once we start winning a ton of games.
The only thing I can think of is DeMarcus Cousins and Dwight Howard, which is why I said it.
I don't know any of those two. Maybe towards like the deadline, they realize that that's a big issue, and they know they're going to need it to like win it all. Because they probably do make a move at the trade deadline for some kind of championship piece. Because they're going to be
Brad Stevens has been super aggressive.
Yeah, because he knows this is like you got to keep Tatum happy. You got to go out there, get them these pieces to win championships. Because time's ticking. It's not like today. It's when that 2008. Those guys were, it's not like this team is anything close to that, but when those guys all came together in 2008, those were guys that were like bona fide studs, proved themselves, and they all just wanted to win a championship.
Yeah.
Their mentality is so much different than what this team's is right now.
By far. And like that shows in the last couple of years, which just seems like we fall apart toward the end. And a lot of people are like, oh, mental toughness and all that stuff, where I think that's mostly bullshit. But like, there is something wrong. Where they just can't finish.
You got no
I mean, fucking, we were down 3-0 against the Heat. We came back for a game 7, but we shouldn't have had to come back from 3-0 down. It was fucking embarrassing.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. This team, we'll see. Yeah.
Like, they're so obviously loaded.
They're so loaded in, on paper and starting five. Starting five, there's no doubt. There's no question. They're loaded.
Yeah.
But like you said, health wise, all these things come to factor, and that comes with every team too. It's not like every team's going to have their injuries, but I think at the trade deadline they go out and probably, depending on how the season's going, if it's going that well, where they think, you know, why not go get a piece just to solidify this thing, go out there and trade somebody, get somebody that has like maybe a year left on their contract, just wants to win a ring, go get it. I think Brad will, because obviously being very. He's going out and getting these guys right now. He's being pretty bold.
And he knows. Like, I just read off all this bullshit math that I did, and I'm a fucking idiot. So I only have a loose idea of what all this stuff that I just said means. Brad obviously understands this to a full degree where it's his entire livelihood. So if I know there's pressure on the Celtics, Brad Stephen absolutely knows there's pressure on the Celtics. So I have the utmost confidence in that anyway. I did want to kind of round this episode out here with a little farewell kind of thoughts. What are your thoughts on Robert Williams leaving?
So that was a go, but the dude honestly couldn't stay that healthy either.
Thank you. Okay, good.
I guess we lose some depth at big men, but...
Because now it's like, shit, we could have used him, but also we wouldn't have had Drew.
I think we'll be fine with him. I mean, he was a great person to be in time with. Young guy. But we'll see how he does this season. Like, I don't think he's anything special.
And like you said, he can't stay healthy anyway. Like, he has degenerative knees that doesn't heal. Like, it only gets worse.
It's like one of those things a lot of players have, their knees just, they don't hold up.
Yeah, it's the cartilage in their knees withers away. Yeah. You don't regrow cartilage. You can't insert more cartilage into your knee. That goes away, it's gone.
He's a solid player, but I don't think he's ever going to be crazy going. Like, in his career, I'd love to see him do well, but he's not going to be, like, that guy on the team. No. He's always going to be, like, that center that's there. He's good enough to start, but he's not, like, your guy. He's not, like, the guy on that team that's going out there scoring the most points, rebounds, all that stuff. He'll be a little chess piece on, like, on the team.
That'll be he'll be exciting. Of course. He's so fun.
He had like the nickname, and he was a fun guy to watch, but sayonara, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Like, on to greener pastures, I guess. He was awesome, fun to watch, but
now we have Porzingis still.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, maybe he won't be throwing down crazy dunks, but he'll hopefully be more effective and hopefully be on the court more
He has better shooting capabilities. Probably.
Yeah, it's the modern league. You got to be able to shoot.
Not much worse than him on defense. He'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Williams was a fucking phenomenal defender. It was so fun watching him swatch hit. It was that's what I'll miss the most.
They won't even have to play defense this year. Their offense is so good.
Yeah,
they'll be running. They'll be up and down. They're going to score pretty much every time they touch the ball. This we'll just outscore people this
season. So that's our offense, or that's our team philosophy, like run and gun, like the old Suns, where it's like we won't even play defense. Like fuck defense, just put up so much
stuff. The front court. I mean, I think
yes,
White and like the guards will be big, but like
backcourt,
we're not backcourt, but like we're not going to be able to do much against a team that has like bigger set, like old
Towers,
which whatever. I think we're just going to run and gun. Outscore teams this year. Same thing with the Suns. Like, they're going to outscore everybody this year. You're just going to have to outscore these teams.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of potential for defense, and they've always played great defense the last couple of years, so it's hard for me to say they won't play good defense, but it's a completely new personnel. So I, much like you, I am not sure, but I know the offense is going to be there. At very least, we're going to put up some fucking points. I want to see a couple 120, 130, 140 point games.
I said we had 160 this year.
160? Big talk. I think eight teams have scored 160 ever or something like that.
It wasn't done last year.
I don't think so.
Let me look it up.
Yeah. Look up how many teams have scored 160 points in a basketball game. But, and then also with the departure of Robert Williams, Malcolm Brogdon goes. You were not on the show, obviously. We never got to share in any Malcolm Brogdon discourse. Did you like him while he was here? Sixth man, and now he's gone. 1 year rental.
I forgot about him. We'll definitely miss Brogdon, but
yeah,
we'll 100% miss him. He was a key bench guy, but yeah, we're gonna miss him a lot.
It feels so weird that he won Sixth Man of the Year. It almost feels undeserved. Like, at the end of the year, he got it, and I was surprised. And I watched most of the games. I was like, he really won? And I was like, oh, shit.
I mean, he was solid.
He was really good. Totally, he was solid. Yes, he is a starter. I've always loved Malcolm Brogdon, but I was still surprised.
Good, solid depth guy. Like, we're going to miss him this season, definitely.
Yeah.
For depth reasons, 100%. Now, Peyton Pritchard steps into that role. So
I know. And
Peyton Pritchard and Malcolm Brogdon is better. Malcolm Brogdon by a mile.
Yeah, of course. Two completely different worlds there, especially because Malcolm Brogdon plays some semblance of defense anyway. And we're going to start a new segment here on the show. Each week when we get on, proposed by you, actually, we're going to do our best bets. And it'll be probably more in-depth once the season gets underway. We can look at the books. I'm more of a player props guy, so that's probably what I'd be diving into. I know you like to dabble in that as well.
Yeah.
But since the season's only started, not much of the books are in-depth yet. We haven't been able to look at player props. Huh?
Do futures.
Oh, futures. What's the over-under for Celtics wins?
Yeah, I'm checking that. Well, Celtics to win the NBA Finals is plus 400.
Plus 400, damn.
To record the most regular season wins in the NBA. So best team in the NBA, plus 300. Jason Tatum, MVP, plus 700. I don't think he's...
Yeah, no, it seems like a far stretch. Would you sprinkle any action on those first two, either NBA championship or best record? Do those entice you at all? Like, I gave you $500 free to play with.
$500
to play with, and you can spread it out through any bets. Would you sprinkle a little bit on them to win the title or them to have the best record, or would you kind of throw that money in more of a safe bet, like the Celtics minus 2.5 against the Knicks in the season opener?
I would. Honestly, a great bet is Celtics to win the Eastern Conference. So make it to the finals. That's plus 175.
Plus 175. Make a lot of sense. Yeah, it's just not a huge payout for me, but it seems like a good payout bet.
But it's like kind of, you're not saying they win the finals. You're not saying
Fucking make it.
They got to make the finals.
With
everything done in the offseason.
I do love that.
They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They ran into the hottest player on the planet, Jimmy Butler. Couldn't really do much about it. They kind of flopped.
Yeah.
I think this is the year they have to make it to the finals this year. or they have to win the East. I think they win.
We seem to have the Bucks number for the most part too. I don't have a lot of faith in the Bucks with Dame, and I can't think of any other team that would compete.
Yeah, and then you sprinkle some on the Atlantic Division winner, Atlantic Coast. Good old
Who's in that division? Is it the Knicks?
Us, 76ers, Knicks, Nets, and Raptors. So we're coming out of that easily. That's -270. Yeah. -250.
That's holy not shit, it's -250.
That's a little concerning, but I mean,
yeah,
that should
they
be
have
like
that,
minus
they
like
have that as a lock.
400, right?
Yeah.
That's not even a lock. I've placed plenty of bets at -250 and plenty of them have lost. So
oh, certainly.
I wouldn't say that's a lock.
Dude, I've placed -400s that have lost before. I'm as much of a sucker as a guy.
So what that's a little weird.
That would be a great one. Because no one pays attention to divisions anymore. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Well, they're just saying that the 76ers and who they have, like Embiid and
no, James Harden's sitting out, so they're fine.
Yeah, so like, and then Knicks, and then Nets and Raptors, like, ugh. But like the Central Division winner, Bucks are -350. So with the Cavaliers, Bulls, Pacers, Pistons, I think that's a better conference than ours. So that's a little,
yeah, that's shakier because you can already count out the Raptors, you can count out the Nets,
yeah,
you can count out the Sixers. And then, so it's between us and the Knicks. And I know you, just because they have a few Duke guys, you might try and say the Knicks, but I'm going to stand firm and say
that. I mean, they should be okay, but they're not going to beat the Celtics.
Yeah.
Unless
okay. Good. At least you have some sense.
The
I know.
Team gets, like, has to go fight in the war or something.
Yeah, I know you only see the world in shades of blue, black, and white. But for normal people who don't eat, sleep, breathe, and shit, Blue Devils, we don't have that same support.
Exactly. But yeah, I that's probably I'm gonna bet on that. Well, before the season starts, I'm probably gonna do Celtics to win the Eastern Conference, make the finals, and then they don't have to win. And then Celtics Atlantic Division winner to -250. They're like
that
should be an easy win.
Okay, so is this our bet then for the first edition of the Raptors best bet of the week? Is that the best bet?
Yeah, I'm saying Celtics Atlantic Division winner -250. Throw a house on that thing.
Anything. So what would you get if you threw $1,000 on that?
Let's check.
Yeah, check it out.
I don't have $1,000 out.
No, certainly not. No. And I've retired from the game, but
$1,000. You would win $400. So not like that much. I mean, it's kind of a lot.
It would be nice. Yeah, exactly. It seems like a no-brainer.
But it would be a nice. It's kind of one of those things you place it, you forget about it. And then you're just like, when they win the East, which I should. With this
which they should.
Go on a vacation.
Dude, for $400, you can go on a vacation.
I might put more.
I just convinced them to throw $1,000 on the fucking. Oh, God.
Like I said, Celtics to win the Atlantic Division.
Yeah, it seems like a no-brainer.
-250, I think that's an easy no-brainer. And then sprinkle a little bit on that Eastern Conference winner. Because he's got, like we both said, the year it's do or die. They make it to the finals this year. I don't know if they win. It's another story, but they make it there.
Yeah, they have to. Like, oh, God. It's going to be a brutal, probably heartbreaking, very treacherous, long, arduous season. But I'm very excited for it.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to do
this. Man, best believe. All right. Well, I think that's a wrap on the first Raptors episode. Raptors. I always say Raptors. I know, because we were just talking about it. The first Raptors episode of the season. Psyched to be on with you again, my man. It's been a good time. I'll see you next week.
Always.
Best believe.